So hi, it's Peter Haddock here, and we're in for another edition of Hashtag CWM Respect podcast series. Now, in the first of the series, what I did is started talking about technology. And since then, we've talked and talked about technology, skills, and other things. And lots of people have been feeding back their thoughts. So I thought to myself, God, I'm talking a lot about machine control here, and I'm not telling people how on earth they can get it to work and how they can get it to work for them. So I took it upon myself to go and see two very different people. One is called Steve, who's sat next to me now, and the other is called Rupert. Now, Steve happens to work for Leica Geosystems. And guess what? Not only do they sponsor my podcasts, but also they fit machine control technology. And Rupert is Rupert Craven from Ritchie Brothers. And Ritchie Brothers are auctioneers, and they've got numerous ways in which you can buy used equipment for them. Now, this is important because I've had a lot of people saying, well, machine control is really expensive. We've got to buy brand new pieces of equipment, and it's going to cost us a fortune to be able to get on these jobs. But if we don't do it, and Highways England are mandating machine control, and now we've got HS2 coming down the line, which is going to be all machine control, we're going to be sliced out of the market and everybody's going to want more machine control. So folks, what I thought about is, why don't you go for a used young piece of equipment and retrofit the machine control? But because I don't know anything about how the retrofitting works, I've got Steve Claybrook from Leica here. And Steve, you're going to have to tell me how it all works, because, right, I've just bought from the auction a second-hand, year-old machine, which I know can be Leica-ready, as you call it. How does it work? What do you do, and what's it all about?
Okay, thank you, Peter. Well, basically, our machine control systems are split into two parts. You've got your base kit, and you've got your cab kit. Now, the base kit is what we say you use to pre-enable a machine. So the base kit consists of various sensors, cabling, the cradle that the panel will eventually sit on inside the cab. The base kit is affordable. It takes approximately a day to install. We also say a half a day to calibrate various buckets to go with the base kit. And then that machine is ready to go. It's GPS ready, and you can take that machine away. You can have it working on site. And when you feel the time is right to hire in the GPS kit, then you contact one of our distribution partners.
But Steve, right, there's a base kit. I understand that that's your terminology, but come on, what's in it? There's bits and bobs, there's sensors, there's control things, and what are they? And, you know, you're saying base kit here. I've seen a machine, it's got all these different bits on it, and it's got a thing in the cab, and, you know, and then there's bits on that screw onto the top and everything like that. Explain these things, Steve. What do they do?
Yeah, okay. So the base kit essentially is all the sensors on the various different points of the machine. So you'll have a sensor on the hitch, you'll have a sensor on the stick, sensor on the boom, you'll have a pitch and roll sensor to figure out what the machine is actually doing in relation to the ground it's on, and the cradle that the panel will sit on inside the cab. Now that cradle stores all the information for that particular machine. So our guys will come along, they'll fit the base kit, they will fit their own cab kit to do a calibration. So they'll fit each bucket to the machine, calibrate that bucket, give it a code, and that will stay in that cradle. So later on down the line, when you do hire a cab kit in and you go full GPS, that information is there. It's ready to go. There's no new calibration. That cradle will store the information for that machine.
So basically, I'm an operator on site. I've got a trenching bucket. I've got a bigger standard dig bucket for the sake of it, and I can chop and change between them, and I don't need to just figure out how that's going to work with the GPS machine control.
On the GPS system, you've got a tools list. It's just a case of going into that tools list, selecting ditching bucket, should we say grading bucket.
Yeah.
We do a bolt-on tool recognition system as well, which it prevents the operator having to go into the tool list and selecting that bucket. We can fit a tag onto the bucket, so when you hitch onto them, the machine knows what bucket it's got.
I've seen one of those. It's like a big matchbox, isn't it? That's not just for buckets, is it? That can be
for other attachments as well, can't it?
It can be for a pecker, it can be for a grading beam, anything.
What you're saying is that's foolproof. So add that bit in, that's foolproof, just whack it on, the system knows it's there, already doing the calibration, I'm straight to work.
Yeah.
So I haven't got to find what somebody's put it in as bucket three and I don't know what bucket three is.
Yeah, it takes away the opportunity for error.
Fantastic. So we've got these bits on the boomers and the sensors and the other bits, but there's two mushroom things.
You don't get those with the base kit.
You don't? Ah, right. The base kit is basically ready for bits to go in.
That's it.
Right. So now we're talking. So you were saying to me a moment ago that you've got an opportunity to hire stuff in, or you can probably buy it as well, I take it. What happens then? Got the base kit. I'm ready to go. I'm like, right, get me the bits in there. What happens then?
Okay, so remembering that the base kit has got the calibration, it knows all the information for that machine.
Yeah.
You would then purchase a cab kit from us or go to one of our distribution partners to rent it for a specific project. Then it's really a case of clipping on the panel to the cradle. Think of it as a window. So you just click that onto the cradle and that then gets the information stored in the cradle and lets you operate the machine control system.
Right, so you're talking about that clicks in, it's like a tablet, folks, you know, it's like a Toughbook type tablet thing, isn't it? And you click that in and that takes the calibration from that cradle as well, does it?
Yeah, it takes the machine specific information from the cradle.
Yeah.
And marries it in with our software on the panel.
Yeah.
And you're away to go to use machine control for that specific machine.
Right, so this is where the mushroom bits come in then, isn't it? What are they really called?
The other bits are the actual antennas that we either put on masts on the back of the machine or, as most machines have got now, a boxing ring, then we mount them on the boxing ring.
Yeah.
And then the most important piece of equipment is the ICG82, the GPS receiver, that on zero tail swings we tend to put in the cab. On other machines, we've got a bit more room, we roll them away in a compartment within the body of the machine. The ICG82 is the receiver, so that's what gets all the information from the satellites. Also gets the corrections from either a base station or SmartNet. That's what gets our accuracy right to where we want it.
SmartNet sounds to me like a Leica thing. What does it mean? Is it a computer program?
No. When it comes to GPS, you need to get an RTK correction. You need to correct that.
What's signal. RTK mean?
It's a form of correction
that
takes your satellite positioning, as you'd have in your car.
Yeah.
It's good for about 10 metres.
Yeah.
And hones it down to, 20 mil tolerance.
Right, so this is way better than my Google Maps and my phone then.
It is.
Yeah.
There's two ways to get these corrections. One way is a base station. So that base station is directed over a nail. An engineer will put a nail in the ground.
Like a hammer and a nail?
A survey nail.
Oh, so, okay. Right, so okay.
An actual position. An engineer will need to put a nail in the ground, tell that base station exactly where it is, give it X, Y, and Z coordinates. The base station will then speak to the satellites. The satellites will say, you're here.
Yep.
And the base station kind of says, well, hang on a minute, I'm being told that I'm here. And the difference between what the satellites are saying and what the engineer's position has said is basically your correction.
So that's your level of accuracy. That's how you're getting from meters to millimeters.
That's it.
Right.
And that correction then gets transmitted to the machines via radio from the base station.
I know that you can load up models and things like that into the actual tablet. And you can do that with a stick, like a memory stick, but modern people are doing it through the phone network, aren't they, Steve? So how, again, does that work? If you're in a farmer's field in the middle of nowhere, you might not have signal, so you might just want to plug it in with one of these USB sticks. But how normally does it work if you get that connection?
Yeah, we've got Connex, so it's basically a link between your site foreman, your machines, your office-based personnel to share information. So you can be at the office, you update a model, and you can send it via Connex to the machine. The operator will get a banner come up on the panel to tell them there's an amendment to the model they're working on. Do they accept this latest amendment?
Yeah, a bit like an update to your iPhone kind of thing.
Yeah, in the old days, it used to be updated drawings. Who's on revision C?
And oh, yeah, of course.
You have to take out laminated PDFs to site and hand them all out and bin the old ones and make sure everyone's got the latest release. Well, this is the digital version of that.
So you've fundamentally got all of that stuff coming down to you. Now, this is important, folks, because if you're thinking, if you're just got the fleet here, you've got to actually get these models from people. Now, Steve, I know you've done surveying in the past, haven't you? So you can actually use Leica kit to survey the site to create those models and then send them to the machines, can't you?
You can, yeah. I'm a big advocate of our Icon platform. I've used it a lot on site, and I really like the fact that you can run around with, say, one of our 70T GPS rovers or a total station using the same CC80 tablet with the Icon software and very quickly do a topo of the area, so you can create an existing surface model with that topo. And then you can very quickly sketch in or design something that you want to be built or excavated. You know, you can create a model on that tablet.
So you can create a model on that? I thought you had to do it on a computer with all this fancy software.
No, I mean, it is nice to do it in the office with a cup of coffee and you know, more powerful software to get really, really complex, you know, multi-plot models. But when it comes to, you know, let's say, for example, a lake, a pond, a lagoon, I could churn a model out for a lagoon in probably about 15 minutes on a CCA.
On site, yourself?
On site.
Fantastic. Now, you've said these words, topos and things like that. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to explain to me.
Yeah, it's the shortened version of a topographical survey.
And what's that?
That's when an engineer will use either a GPS rover or a total station to create a grid of the site as it is. You know, so existing ground, we always say in surveying that the tighter the grid, the more accurate the results.
Yeah.
So you might pace out 5 meters in one direction, measure a point. Pace another 5 meters, measure a point. And so on until you've covered the entire work area. And then you can create a surface model from that topographical survey.
Yeah.
And that is literally a digital representation of the site that you're working with.
So I know from seeing a few people with drones and things like that, you can do that with a surveyor on the ground with that, but you can also fly a drone,
yeah,
can't you?
Yeah.
And it's got to be a big one, folks, because you've got to have some really good cameras on them. Some of these are massive. That can do your little survey as well.
Especially if you're working with, you know, clean surfaces, you know, yeah, rock, that sort of thing. The reason I say that is because if you've got deep vegetation, obviously a drone can't penetrate through the vegetation to see the ground.
Good point, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so it's you pick the right tool for the job.
I tell you what though, Steve, I went to a show recently where I grabbed the backpack of Leica. Now, this is a thing, you shove this backpack on your back and you walk the site. And that does the same sort of thing as the drone does. And you can get on an ATV with one of these huge camera things on the back and zoom down the site, and that does the same thing. So there's lots of different ways, isn't there?
Lots of
you can get these surveys. But what you're saying is you've basically got all this information. You've got a grid of that, so you, where all the bumps are, where all the troughs are, that then lets you set up something on a tablet like you could do in the with the lagoon, and then it's into the machine, then the operator's got it, and then literally what happens then? You hit the tab bit to say it's another revision and downloads into the machine, and then does it just show you the levels? You've got your bucket recognition on there already, haven't we? So what happens? Where do we go?
You've done a topographical survey and you've created an existing surface model, but now you need your design model, and that's the bit that the back office staff will create, or you know, your third party designer, whoever, your client, they will give you the information to produce a design model, and it's the comparison between your existing ground and your design that will, well, let's say it will give you your earthworks takeoff. It will tell you
right
whether you need to take any material away, whether you need to import material. Just gives you a picture of what you're working with and what the end result is going
to
be.
Steve, we still haven't come back to those mushrooms on the back. What do they do?
So they are the antennas. They are what pick up the signals from the satellites. They then feed that information to the ICG-82 in the cab.
Yep.
Or, as I said, if you've got space elsewhere on the machine, we like to hide it away somewhere. Yeah, so they are the basic antennas that get the signal, send the information to the ICG-82. It then gives that signal a correction, either from a base station or SMART net. We didn't really touch on SmartNet and what that is.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about SmartNet.
If you haven't got a base station on site, it's not the end of the world because we've got our own reference stations dotted all over the country.
Oh, right, so you've got things on buildings that show you, or sites that show you that accuracy thing you're talking about.
Think of a mobile phone mast. We've got similar bits of kit that are reference stations. If you haven't got a base station on site, you can use SmartNet, which is basically you get a license from us to use SmartNet, and your machines speak to our nearest reference station via mobile phone network.
Right, brilliant.
That's how you get your correction via SmartNet.
Now, Steve, you know, one of the things that I have heard from people is obviously once you've got your machine in control, you've got your models, you then people know you just dig to the model and off you go. But there's been some issues in the past, Steve, around theft. The mushrooms, as I call them, and the tablet inside, and the other bits, they're worth quite a lot of money. And if that stuff goes missing overnight, you come back to site and it's not there, then you're in a whole heap of trouble, aren't you? What do you advise people to do at the end of the day?
Well, absolutely. The cab kit is the most expensive part of the whole setup. And the beauty of our system is the fact that you can unclip the panel,
right,
slide the ICG82 from its holder, and unscrew the antennas from the mast or the boxing ring. This can be done in approximately 5 minutes. That's being generous, to be honest. And it all fits into one carry case, no bigger than a laser box. So
you've got that stowed away properly, so it's not rattling around in the back of your car getting damaged. You can take that off site. Nobody's therefore going to take it away for you, are they? So that's good. Now, also, speaking to people about, some of the anti-theft things that are in these systems, whereby you're really encouraging people to register their system with you, aren't you, so that you can turn it off, for want of a better word, so it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
So how does that work, Steve? Because I know people have been able to do that and their kit's been found as such and retrieved.
Yeah, well, every piece of kit that we provide has got a serial number. That serial number is registered on MyWorld.
Yeah.
And if it were to go missing and then somebody else tried to use it, that would flag up to us. You might be thinking of Locate that we fit to Topol stations. That's the next step where you can actually fit a tracker to various pieces of Leica kit.
Right, so that's for the total station and other stuff. No, I mean, to be honest, I was looking at all of that. How on earth do you stop people thinking that these are worth stealing anyway? So that's great. So serial numbers are recognised. Obviously, you've got software upgrades. People aren't going to be able to use this stuff.
No.
That's great.
But
so
prevention is better, and taking the cab kit off at the end of the shift is
super sensible. Yeah. And also, when you've got a proper box that everything fits in, that's really great. Well, Steve, I think retrofitting is not as difficult as it first sounded, because I thought you had to put a lot of stuff in, then you'd have to do more things to it, then you'd only be able to clip in one system. But it sounds to me you can clip in something. What about if I've got these sort of retrofitted machines? I could fit two or three with the base bit, couldn't I? Could I take the tablet and put it in another one instead of hiring three units, because I might not need it?
Yeah, as I mentioned, the basic machine information is in the cradle. Our platform is called MC1 for a reason. It's one panel for multiple machines. And you could literally take the cab kit from, let's say, a 313. If you had great software on there as well, you could put it on a dozer.
Right, from an excavator, a dozer.
Yeah, or you could have, say you've got a large excavator that you've had GPS on doing bulk earthworks, and then you know for a week it's going to be sat on top of a muck pile loading trucks. Well, it doesn't need that expensive cab kit on that machine. You could then take it off, clip it onto your smaller, more nimble machine that's doing, say, foundation excavations. You could literally take the cab kit off, interchange it between all your different machines.
So for me, I think what you're saying is, when you're looking at this old retrofit thing, think about it, because you might fit the base bit to three or four different machines, then have a couple of systems and flip them in between. And of course, you said before, you've got loads of distributors around. You can actually hire one in if you do need all four bits of kit on a particular job, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, Steve, what's interesting for me is obviously we're saying to people, buy second-hand kit here. Have you got any advice on, you know, what people should look out for? Because obviously there's certain brands which, you know, are going to be ready, probably better for the job. But you were saying to me earlier, you've got to really look at some other points as well. Tell the people out there what they should be doing before they make that second-hand purchase.
It's really just the kind of checks that you'd be doing buying a machine, even if you weren't looking at putting machine control on it. You know, you're gonna jump in that machine, you're gonna put it through its paces, you're gonna look for wear and tear, you're gonna look for extra play in the bushes, that sort of thing. Well, excessive play obviously is going to affect the accuracy of our system. So, you know, we need to be looking at machines that have been looked after, or if you're gonna buy something, you know, get the bushes replaced and just tighten everything up. Make sure it's a really smooth and really tight machine.
So, in other words, folks, make sure you do the MOT on that excavator and get those things changed, because it will affect the accuracy. That's important, because machine control's all about accuracy. And if you get it wrong, you're going to have to redo it, which is what machine control is trying to stop and prevent. Right, Steve, I think we've got loads of information there. And all of that is basically available on your website for people to have a look at. But to be honest with you, folks, I'd give Steve or one of his colleagues a call if you've got any of these questions, because that's a lot to take in. And you can do that, reach the guys at leica-geosystems.co.uk. For me, it's now time to go and speak to Rupert Craven, because it's no good having a base kit, Steve, if you haven't got a second-hand excavator to put it on, is it?
Not at all.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Thank you, Peter.
So that was Steve Claybrook from Leica Geosystems talking about retrofitting machine control and how it all works. But if you need to retrofit machine control to an older unit, you actually need to be able to find those older units to buy. So I went out and gave my friend Rupert Craven, sales director of Ritchie Brothers, a call to see if he'd let me know how you can find these excavators and dozers, how you can buy them, and the different ways in which you should be looking for them. And so Rupert's kindly joined me. He's going to tell us all about it. Rupert, thanks very much for making time to tell me all about this. This is an important topic, raising the bar, getting machine control units onto site and in the hands of operators so that they can actually win this work with Highways England and future other projects. Tell me about how they can find the excavators and the dozers they need.
Well, thanks, Peter. We've been looking for machinery to supply to people with all different sorts of budgets and different sorts of needs around the world for the last 50 or 60 years. So there's nothing new to that. And it's all about giving customers choice. Our auctions and our websites have a whole range of machinery, from unused and high spec machines to the oldest and the cheapest machines. Everybody's got a different wallet and a different need, so nothing's out of the ordinary from that. So if you're looking for the right machine to go and spend the money on to fit the automation and also to have it working on a high prestigious site, you need to be searching through all the different options that we have. And something that's really important is just opening the eyes to the customers of what Ritchie Brother offers. So if you go onto our website, richiebro.com, you'll see all of our different platforms. So most people know about Ritchie Brother auctions, unreserved auctions, live auctions. We've been doing them for decades, very straightforward. 45, 50 sites around the world doing 400 auctions a year, plenty of opportunity. Go on our website and have a look through from that. The next step along the road from that is looking at Iron Planet. Iron Planet have two different things. One's the online auctions that they have monthly through from that, and the other's the marketplace. Lots of listing of machinery from there. You'll find machinery that's exactly right for that. And if you can't find it through both of those, we own Mascus. So go and have a look at Mascus. That's a listing site. It's one of the biggest in Europe around from that for listing machinery, and you can source machines from that. And I've got to say, Peter, if you can't find them through Ritchie Brother live auctions, you can't find them in Iron Planet, and they're not in Mascus, I'm not sure if they exist.
Well, I'm sure they do exist, because we've seen them at some of your auctions that I've been to recently. And I think for me, when I don't understand necessarily how to buy this equipment or what I need to do to be able to either bid for it or make offers for it or things like that, what's your advice be to me? I'm looking at finding my first excavator so I can be on site. I can get that Leica Geosystems 3D machine control system on it. But what do I have to do to make sure I get to the auction and I can bid, or I can make an offer on your marketplace e-platform, which is a bit like the eBay for plant? And I know what's interesting, really, listeners, you've got to understand with this kind of marketplace, e and Iron Planet platform, is it's not just a posting of a machine on that. Basically, the guys at Ritchie Brothers do a lot of inspection information, and there's loads of pictures and things like that. So actually, it's a little bit more involved by the team here, so you kind of know what you're getting rather than seeing a picture on a site somewhere and just bidding willy-nilly without that information. So worth pointing that out. So therefore, what do I do?
Well, interesting enough, we talked about the different sites we've got and the different websites, but buying and selling machinery has always been a very much of a people's game. You know, you've got to know the person who's going from there. We're talking about big sums of money. And when it's used machinery, we're talking about lots of different ways that's been used.
Yeah.
So we're very important to have the right people matched with the right platforms. So first of all, find out the machines that ideally, you know, three or four different makes, a range of models, what hours, what years you want, or so any specialist.
Do your homework.
Do your homework. So you've got a bit of a shopping list. Then come to us. You can go onto our website. You can see the local representative in your area, the territory manager. Have a chat to them and say, look, I'm looking for these. Could you advise me where to go? And we'll find some machinery, point you in the right direction. You can then do your due diligence, check through and find four or five machines that you really want. They could be in auction, they could be on the website, they could be on Maskus, wherever they are from that.
Yeah.
And then you can go to that next level. If you need that to be for us to help you out to get registered at the auction, that's no problem at all. If you want to come and test the machines and make sure it's right, you can send engineers down and go through from that. So we're here to help you. So I think that's the important thing nowadays
that's
in business. It's a match between great online facilities, good operational facilities in the yard, and a friendly touch to help you out.
To be honest with you, I think that's really worth understanding. I didn't realise that you had these sort of territory managers as such that I, as a customer, could get involved with. Because at the end of the day, you know, anybody wanting to get into this machine control game, you know, they've got to make the right investment. They've got to make they've got to buy the right kit. Because, you know, the difference between getting it right and wrong is obviously you're not going to get on site, you're not going to have the right system on it.
And it's very important they come and do the test, because the last thing you want to do is go and invest a lot of money on a machine that's then also got problems to fix as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important you go through and check through from that. If you can't go through the territory managers, we've always got people on site at all of our auction sites. So we've got a customer service managers there, we've got yard managers, operations managers from there, so they can go and see and look around the machines with you, send you through from that. And the same on the Iron Planet. We've got an inside sales team based in Breda in Holland. You can phone them up and they'll help you out as well. So we want to make sure that you're a happy customer, you buy the right thing, you take that machine to work, and you're buying what you know you're getting.
Well, that's great, because I think what's really important with that is, therefore, you've got a lot of choice out there. What you've also got is the ability to have a bit more confidence. And if you're not used to doing this, you know, the people there that can kind of hold your hand through it. Not forgetting as well that there are some good deals to be had out there, because people are selling this sort of equipment to invest in their fleets, in brand new smart technologies, intelligent machines, to get onto these projects. But there's good equipment there that can be refitted with machine control anyway. There's plenty out there, isn't there, for people?
There is, and I think there's a mentality in the UK of it's got to be shiny, it's got to be brand new. I hear a lot about that customers of our rental customers are saying that they want machines a year old or two years old, very young machinery. But there's no problem. A lot of this machinery goes on for 5, 10, 15 years. It has many different lives and travels around the world.
Yeah.
It still works well as long as you maintain it and get the right thing, the quality brands through from there. And we're here to steer you through that and advise you on the best way to go.
So that's it, folks. We've got the ability to retrofit machine control. You can even put base kits onto the machines so you can switch your systems from one to the next. And the guys at Ritchie Brothers and their individual people, their territory managers, real people that you can talk to, can help you get the right machines for the right price using all of the different platforms. So there is options out there
for people that want to be Highways England raising the bar ready. And I hope you found this podcast really useful. Anybody needs to find any further information from Leica Geosystems or Ritchie Brothers, please just drop me an email, content@contentwithmedia.com, or send me a message on social media. I'll put you right in touch with the guys. Rupert, thanks very much. And good luck, everybody out there. Let's see everyone in the whole industry trying to raise the bar with Highways England and beyond.
No problem. Thank you very much, Peter.